This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, happy Thursday to you. It's a throwback Thursday today. We're going back to 1980, Super Bowl 14. And then also on this date, 1980, Jimmy Carter announced that the United States would boycott the Summer Games in Moscow. And a bunch of other countries followed suit on this date. So 1980 music today, and also a look back on, against Super Bowl 14. All right, so the NFL is doing pretty good. The wild card game between the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers on both CBS and Nickelodeon became the most watched wild card game in 7 years. Guys, if you want to know why a lot of the media pays a lot of attention to the Dallas Cowboys, it's for two reasons. One, for whatever it is, not even non-Cowboy fans like news about Dallas, especially if it's negative. And two, they have fans all over the country. I mean, their fan base is so deep. But these are the kind of numbers the Cowboys get. Now, remember, again, you go back 5, 6, 7 years ago, and everybody was talking about the Colin Kaepernick and the boycotting and all of that, and they were really emotional about it, and they were going to boycott the NFL, and they weren't going to watch the NFL. You see it, you saw it a lot on social media. Everybody went and took their cause and said, I'm done with the league, I'm done with the NFL. And you know what? And I've always said, hey, if that's something that bothered you so much that you would leave the league, that's a decision I respect, right? Because I can't tell you to feel any way about that than you should. But I also knew that eventually the league would come back because there's an attractiveness to this sport that I don't think a lot of people can dismiss. I think there is something about the way that the league sets itself up at this time of year that is greatly missed. So not everybody who said, I'm done with the NFL, stayed done with the NFL, because the numbers are starting to show that the viewership continues to come back. Now, don't get me wrong. This was a combination of the CBS and the fun Nickelodeon broadcast. But at the same time, it was the best wild card ratings that the league has had in 7 seasons. All right, coming up, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. Teresa Walker is also going to join us this hour. We're going to get a look at the Tennessee Titans as they prepare for their game against the Cincinnati Bengals and the return of Derrick Henry for them and what it actually will mean for their offense. It's all coming up in hour two on a Throwback Thursday. This is Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it is the good, the bad, and the dumb here on a Throwback Thursday. So we're getting you closer and closer to the weekend. So what is the good of the day?
You know what you just said, you were getting closer to the weekend?
Yeah.
Now, if this legislation is to go through...
Uh-oh.
And I'll explain. It would be closer to the weekend.
Okay.
I'm going to start off by saying this. The UK, United Kingdom, our sister country, I guess. I don't know. We stole it from them, and now we're best friends. They are going on a trial run and moving to a 4-day work week.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, other countries are doing the same thing. Canada is going to be implementing something like that as well. There is legislation right now in the U.S. Congress to go from 40-hour a week work week to 32. And that if you go over 32, you got to pay overtime.
Okay, so I was going to say, how can they enforce that? Like, they can't force companies.
I mean,
but
if
they
you
could
work
say,
over, you got to pay overtime.
Yeah.
Time and a half.
Got it.
So... I don't know if it'll ever happen in our lifetime.
I don't think it has a snowball's chance in Hades.
But we could dream, right?
Every company would be just throwing every dollar they had at every lobbyist they could. They're like, hey, Senator.
They'd be doing that or just moving it overseas.
Yeah.
Exactly. These guys will work 6 days a week.
I am curious, though. Where this kind of stuff, though, in this country at least, where you get momentum for this stuff is – through competition,
yeah.
Right? The minimum wage is still what, $7 an hour?
This right? is, I thought it went up a
is
little
it
bit,
a little maybe $8.
Yeah,
it's not 12 or 13. Let's agree on that. I don't know exactly what it is.
No, it's not there.
I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody who works for minimum wage, right? I don't know any kid who works for minimum wage. Like companies are now like in this day and age are like we can't hire anybody for that. So now you can go and work in, like, my daughter works at a restaurant. She makes $12 an hour. She's 16 years old. I made $325 when I was 16 years old.
Yeah.
Like she's, and they're going to bump her to 14 if she's, when she's there a year. She's $14 an hour.
I'll tell you this. Each state
is
different.
At a restaurant.
Each state is different, but the average is $7.25.
Okay. Right. So, but did it come from the government? No, it came from industry needs. So that being said, I do think eventually when you, if companies were to start saying, hey, we need people, and our work week is 4 days.
Yeah.
Right? And then people go, oh, I'd like to work there. And then other companies go, all right, our work day is 4 days. And our day is, next thing you know, it just sort of trickles where if you were to interview for a company, if you had three or four interviews lined up, and the one goes, yeah, we're here Monday through Friday, 8 to 6, every single day, and we're closed on Christmas. You go, thanks, but they're closed on they're closed Friday through Sunday, and I'm going to take the job over there. Like, that's basically how it works. But I'm curious, like, with this new push, and I don't want to say new, because I feel like it's a new thought, but it was always there. Like, there seems to be a new emphasis on mental health days.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're seeing
yes.
You know what I mean? Like, we seem to be, like, companies are really telling their people, your vacation time, use your...
Use your vacation time, do not open up your, do not bring your laptop.
Yeah.
Do not answer your phone or your emails. Ignore all of that.
Would you not say 5 or 6 years ago that the guy that went, I'm taking a vacation, but of course it's a working vacation. I'm bringing my laptop. We always went, wow, look at him. He's a go-getter.
Yep.
And now we kind of look at him and go, you're killing yourself. And you don't even know it.
Well, I mean,
we seem to have changed the attitude on that approach.
The other thing I think we changed our attitude on was working from home.
Right.
You know, before that was like, taboo. Or if you're working from home, you're like, oh my God, you're one of the lucky ones or something like that. Now, like, companies found out during the pandemic when everyone was working from home, like, well, we're doing much better than we thought.
Yeah, exactly.
Our overhead, keeping the lights on in the office or, isn't there.
I'm making a weird observation here. It doesn't feel like we've lost the drive to succeed or anything like that. I'm not talking about that. I feel like a lot of people are just pushing back on the narrative that my entire existence is to just be here to work. Like, the only thing I'm on this earth for is to labor constantly without stop, without any breaks, and I have to do it. I think most people are figuring out a way not to be like that. I think it feels like it's a recent trend. The pandemic helped, but it feels like more people are like, you know what? I'll make less money, but if I really wake up every day enjoying life, that's all that I can ask.
Well, this is the thing, too, that in the UK, no wages are being cut.
Oh, even better.
So, they're just going to try it out and see, like, a 40-hour work week down to 32. You're still getting paid the same.
Yeah, let's see how that goes. Like, I think it won't happen here until we see other countries and see how it rocks.
I think it won't happen here until we're retired.
I don't think it will happen here at all. But nevertheless.
We'll be long retired and be like, my day, we did five days a week.
I don't want to get into a political argument, but how many times have we looked over there and they go, they have universal health care? And we go... Yeah, well, hold on one second. Yeah, don't start wishing you're living in London anytime soon.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. What's the
bad?
I'm
going to
get
day.
Myself in hot water. I don't want to get into politics. What is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that NBC is not sending its broadcast team to Beijing for
the
Olympics.
Did we think they would? Did we honestly think they were going to do that?
They didn't for Tokyo. Tokyo.
They had a few people in Tokyo, but a lot of that stuff was remote broadcasting.
Yep.
They're going to do that now. I'm telling you, play-by-play announcers of the future, you aren't traveling with your teams in 15 years. I'm telling you. It is going to get better and better. Once teams, especially where you get experience in this business in the minors, right? I'm telling you, they're going to find a way to keep you young broadcasters at home doing it from an office where there's just going to be a video screen in front of you.
Or doing it
from
a studio. I mean, they've been doing it for years. I mean, we've had them on our show before. Why am I blank? Glenn Davis, who does soccer. He, when the World Cup was in Russia, he went to L.A. and called games for Fox Sports.
Yeah, it's not necessary sometimes to do it. Once, and the technology is going to get better and better and better, right, to do it.
Man, are they going to send, like, I mean, doesn't the Today Show normally go there?
Yeah. Well, they send everybody there. Yeah, they, like, everybody goes.
But this is just broadcasters, people calling the...
Oh, Jack Collinsworth isn't going to be going over to Beijing?
Well, they might send him.
Yeah, they might send him. Yeah, right? Exactly. Jack Collinsworth isn't going to be able to go, hey, guys, it's so great to be here. Snowboarding is so cool. And the guys that do it are some of the top athletes in the world. Yeah, we don't get to hear that.
Do you think Jack, he gets his plane ticket. He has all the, his hotel reservation. He goes to Mike Tirico. So where are you staying? I'm not going.
I'm not going. Are you nuts?
Why? Well, who else is coming with me? I don't know, Jack, to China. It's just you, Jack.
I'm going to China during a pandemic. What are you, insane?
Yeah.
Going there.
I don't know if you knew this. It's kind of where it started.
Yeah. It is amazing. I mean, I'm telling you, it is amazing. I used to like traveling for sports. I when I was younger. As I got older, I'm like, all right, not so big. But yeah, if you're a young play-by-play announcer, it's going to be the way of the future. You're going to be doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe not for some sports. Maybe football, you kind of still have to be there. But
I don't know if you do.
I don't know. I don't know if you do either.
When I found out
the Yankees still weren't sending
John Sterling
on the road, I thought they'll never send him on the road again. There's no reason to.
Yeah.
There's no reason to. If you don't have to, don't. Don't. It's extra cost you don't need, and you don't have to.
I mean, if he's seeing the game in real time, now I know there was hiccups or issues with – the radio play-by-play that he does wasn't syncing up with television or something. There was some weird thing going on. But, yeah, they're saving money by keeping him out of hotels and just saying, yeah, you just pop into our studio here. We got everything up and running for you.
Yeah. Like, the sport I love, Formula One, their commentators are in a room with screens and televisions. They can't see a 3.5-mile track
right
from where they are. They could do that in London. They could do that anywhere in the world. It's all computers, screens, statistics, times. It's the same stuff I get when I follow a race on a service that I subscribe to. There's no reason to be there personally other than to walk around, get the news, get the feel, talk to guys. But as far as calling a race, like, or calling a game, you don't have to be there.
Is how soon to, or maybe they already have, because I know, like, for the World Cup, right, when the World Cup happens, there's only one camera crew.
Right.
And everyone buys the rights to that camera crew.
Right, exactly.
And they're all, and it's just the camera crew for that stadium. It's not that camera crew doesn't travel around to different stadiums. They just work that stadium only. Is that the same thing in for us as well? In the United States,
I think so.
And you just buy the rights to whatever.
So, yeah, I think it's the truth.
Even if you're a cameraman or a producer, you don't get to travel anymore.
Exactly. So, yeah. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Now, the dumb of the day is not T.J. Watt.
Okay.
But T.J. Watt brought out the story. And the story is that he broke one of the NFL's pointless rules. And, the NFL does have a few. I know a lot of people will say, well, taunting is a pointless rule. But there are real pointless rules in the NFL. And he broke one of the pointless rules, and that was checking his phone at halftime during the Ravens game to see where he stood as far as the sack record was concerned.
I got it.
And that is actually a rule, and he possibly, since he admitted it, he possibly could get fined by the NFL.
Yeah, okay.
I'm thinking maybe it's a $500 fine. Right. It better not be more than, a bucket of chicken or something like that. But
by the way, can T.J. Watt ever go down the road of, you guys care about that. I only care about winning games.
Not anymore.
Right?
No, he checked it during halftime. Because he said some of the people were telling him, that he had gotten it. Others were saying he didn't because he didn't know where he stood because he had been a part of sacks, but he hadn't really made a sack, and he was curious of where he stood.
You know what, TJ? I would have done it as well.
Oh, definitely.
So just...
And whatever fine that if they were to fine him, I mean, I'm sure he's just going to... He'll send it in coupons. I don't know.
Yeah, send it in coupons is right. Exactly.
But it does bring up, the NFL's pointless rules. Like, I never understand... I still, to this day, don't understand the sock rule.
The sock rule?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Well, they have to have it certain, oh, certain. Yeah,
they have to have their sock all the way up. You can't can't have short socks. Well, like, I don't get why that's a thing.
Yeah, I think it is, for that rule in particular, is just a byproduct of the general rule that everybody must look exactly the same. There can't be a different way you wear your uniform for whatever reason, right?
Right.
Like, and I think that trickled down to the socks. Like, they didn't want to have different, yeah.
People showing leg.
Yeah.
Maybe that was
it. Exactly.
Like, can't show leg. It'll drive the ladies crazy.
Remember, you're right, yeah. Yeah, I thought the NFL did a great compromise with the cleats thing because and I could see
but
their
you can't
point.
Wear them during the game. You can wear them when you're warming up.
But they had a compromise with it, and the reason they did was because they were like, "Look, we appreciate this, but we can't have our games not bogged down." That's kind of a bad word because a lot of them are doing it for charities and good causes and to honor friends who died and whatnot. But they didn't want the game itself to be sort of entrapped in 30 different messages that that people felt like they had to repeat every single game, every single time, right? And there's Ezekiel Elliott going in for a touchdown, wearing the cleats of the Dallas Boys and Girls Club, blah, 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 blah. And then the next one. And here's a sack by Micah Parsons, who's honoring his late grandfather with his cleats. Like, they didn't want that every single game, so they said, look, we'll do it this way, and that way, you know, we can, you know, we don't have to, we're not showing some level of individuality that bogs down the game.
Right.
Right. It, you know, so, but yeah, that's the sock rule tends to trickle down from that. Like, oh, I wear my uniform with my sleeves up.
Yeah. Man, and I get the cell phone rule just because, you know, it goes into a larger issue of gambling and betting and things like that. I get that.
Of course.
But yeah, you're exactly right. TJ Watt can never go, I don't really care about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even know how many I had. I mean, to be honest with you, I only care about winning. It's the only thing that matters. You guys, that's something you guys care about. Oh.
But don't we love the fact that, you know, there's that honesty? Because if you're in that position, of course you're wondering.
I'm sure you wouldn't. Why wouldn't
you? You know, I'm sure like when Tom Brady is going for another passing record because he has them all. That he's sitting there, you know, before game going, all right, I need 80 yards.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. What can I ask all you athletes out there, all you football players, baseball players, what magic pill did you take at 21 years old where you didn't care about your personal success at an early age?
Yeah.
Like, why are all of us, when we were in our 20s, really concerned about where, you know, how much success we were having at an early age and our status and whatnot as we moved our way through life? Like, what magic pill did you take where you went, I don't care about any of this at all?
Yeah.
Right?
I don't even care. I'm a professional athlete. It's
what
I do.
Exactly. Because I kind of doubt that. And so that's just, I kind of doubt you have that. I think you're just saying it to say it. But behind closed doors, you absolutely do care.
Oh, all right. You can't not, right?
Exactly. All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. Teresa Walker coming up this hour as we talk Titans football as we continue on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
1980 on a Throwback Thursday, Super Bowl 14, and the summer game boycott announced by President Carter on this date. Two things for the price of one on a Throwback Thursday. Isn't this simply called the Pina Colada song?
It's actually Escape.
Escape.
And but then there's in parentheses, it's the Pina Colada song.
Did they do it post-hit, or did they just go, let's just do it now? Because I bet people were like, that's the Pina Colada song. And like, no, it's Escape. And like, no, it's the Pina Colada song. And they finally went, okay.
I mean, if you went to someone and said, yeah, do you like that song Escape by artist's name is Rupert Holmes? You'd be like, I don't even know that song. It's like, oh, do you like the Pina Colada song? Yes, I do.
I got a real question for the writers of the Pina Colada song. What fantasy world do you live in where you as a man could search out another woman other than your wife, discover that other woman you found in the paper was your wife, and your wife would say, "Oh, it's you," without beating the hell out of you in the restaurant that she meets you in? That's my question. That's all I'm asking. When you write a song, can you base it in some level of reality? Like, you're married, it's getting stale, it's getting kind of boring. Like, all marriages end up at some point. And then you look in the paper, you try to find another woman. You're like, I'm just going to get out of this thing. I'm going to just have an affair on my wife. I think that'll be cool. That'd be neat. It's totally acceptable to do this day and age.
I feel like that should be the next, if they were to reprise their romantic comedy duo of Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, that it would be based off of that. That maybe they found each other on Tinder.
If you walked into a restaurant, guys, just give you a little advice who are not married. If you walk into a restaurant to meet another woman other than your wife, and you walk into that restaurant and you see your wife, run as fast as you can.
Well, okay,
away
no,
from
but
the restaurant.
Back up.
No. It doesn't count.
Your wife
doesn't
is
count.
There.
Doesn't count. You know better than this. You know she'll say, I knew you were going to cheat on me. I planted that ad to catch you having an affair. I knew it was you when I responded to that ad. You know shit. That's what they're going to say.
But what if, you know what? Then you got to be smarter about it.
Because they're smarter than us.
What if you walk in and you see that she's sitting there, right? And then you text her before you meet up.
Okay,
and
now, then you're playing 4D chess.
Yeah, now you got to catch her. You catch her in the act. And, you know, she's like, oh, I'm just out with
good
my
point.
Girlfriends.
Yeah.
And you sit there and like, yeah, I don't see any.
My wife would have beaten me up in front of every patron in that restaurant if I walked in and went, ha, I'm here to meet Julie. Yeah. Is there a woman here by herself waiting for a blind date? Yeah, no question about it. Well, to the writers of Escape, you got a hit. Guardians of the Galaxy made it even more popular today than it ever was. God bless you.
Isn't that the weird thing? Like, my son will come to me and goes, hey, have you heard this song before? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. That Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack is no joke.
God,
man.
He loves Mr. Blue Sky.
Yeah, Mr. Blue Sky. Yeah, Fox on the Run. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, they're all good. So, God bless. 1980s music is kind of strange. We've gone through the different versions of so far. God. We haven't even reached the rock level yet.
No.
You know? Super Bowl 14 on this date.
And it's the rock level. I don't even know if it is rock. It's like that
exactly.
In between. Like, you don't know what you are. It's like you're rock with a tinge of something else. I don't know what it is.
Real quick, do we have any update on what's going on in California for fans that want to go to Super Bowl 56?
No.
Is it like, you know, I don't know if my friends here in town would be making the trip. I got a couple of friends that are season ticket holders and would have access to buying tickets through the Titans as season ticket holders if the Titans should make it. But I'm always like, I don't know what California is right now. I don't know if what happens if you go out there. Do you need a vaccine to get in the stadium?
It was almost like it was a story, and now it's not.
Yeah, it's not a story, right? Remember we asked Bobby Belt about this. Is Dallas really in the running for this? If the NFL goes, yeah, I'm sorry, LA. But now it seems to have died. It seems like they went, okay, it was a brief little story. Some people made it a big deal. It wasn't as big a deal as the media may have made it. But we took our little lump on it for the time it was in the media. Now it's not. Welcome to SoFi Stadium for Super Bowl
56. Yeah, I mean, here's something. 2 days ago, the Hollywood Reporter reporting that all plans in place for game red carpet events despite COVID-19 surge.
That's the power of the NFL, man, right?
I guess they're all just hoping that, yeah, maybe it'll take that sharp decline that everyone keeps talking about.
Yeah, right. But here's the thing. You know, even if you're California, you got a lot of money and whatnot, you don't want to give that up. Man, you don't want to give that up to somebody else. Like, you're all set for it. You've been making plans for it. You don't want to just toss it away a couple weeks before the event. It's the Super Bowl, for crying out loud. It's huge. Huge. You just have this billion-plus stadium built to basically, you know, have this game to every now and then come to L.A. for this. You don't want to give that away. Everything that's coming in. So, yeah, we'll see how that goes. But I'm wondering if you're a fan, if what they're going to make fans and ticket holders do. Like, seriously, do you need a vaccine to get into the SoFi Stadium? Are you going to have to show a card? Are you going to? Yeah, exactly. So that'll be interesting when we get closer and closer. But we have 8 teams still around vying for a playoff spot. One of them is the Tennessee Titans. And Teresa Walker is going to join us next to talk about this team that went 12-5. They are the AFC's number one seed. And guess what? Derrick Henry's coming back this weekend. We'll talk to her about all of that coming up next. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue its Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. All right, the Tennessee Titans, the number one seed in the AFC at 12-5, but hosting Cincinnati at Nissan Stadium coming up this weekend. Teresa Walker from the Associated Press coming on to talk Titans. How are you, Teresa?
I'm good. How are you this morning, Tony?
Good. The status of Derrick Henry went through contract drills, seems to be fine. I know you guys have limited access to that stuff. But overall, what's the feeling on Saturday about his availability?
Well, he remains on IR, but after the fact, the Titans actually had him talking to us yesterday, which none of us can remember a player on IR talking to the media before a game. Now, this is an unusual year with the unlimited return rules off of IR, but let's put it this way. It would be stunning if Derrick Henry is not activated in time to play on Saturday.
All right, they did go 6-3 without him, but what was missing with Derrick Henry out of the lineup?
Well, it was a running back by committee. You know, Deontay Foreman had 3 100-yard games. Dontrell Hilliard. I mean, shoot, they even tried Adrian Peterson for a bit. Remember, he got a touchdown in the Rams game. But, you know, the thing is, Derrick Henry is the guy who, you know, he can, you know, he's a threat to take the ball to the end zone on any play. If he gets out in open space, the stiff arm, the speed that he has shown. Now, the one thing we don't know is, you know, where is he at? I mean, it's been nearly 12 weeks since he broke that right foot. You know, he plays on Saturday. It will have been almost 12 weeks to the day that he broke the foot on Halloween in Indianapolis. So, you know, is the speed there? Is the what's his endurance like? You know, he hasn't played in a game in just over 2 months. So, you know, you can mimic, you know, they thudded him and, you know, he ran through some teammates that we saw on Tuesday and he did some more work yesterday. They'll practice again today, do a walkthrough on Friday. Honestly, you know, the only question is, do they activate him Thursday or do they wait until Friday afternoon when they absolutely have to have made the roster move at that point? And then there is still a possibility, you know, is there a setback? I mean, I'm coming off of surgery myself and it's like, just when you think you're in really great shape, you can take a step back. So, you know, but that's the thing. The presumption is he will play on Saturday. And the only question is how many carries. This is not going to be a Derrick Henry that comes out there and, you know, carries 30 times, 150 yards. The kind of performance we saw 2 years ago when he helped the Titans run through New England, Baltimore, and then get to the AFC Championship game in Kansas City. You know, so that's the thing. Is it 10 carries if he plays, 12, 15? It sure seems like it's going to be a continuation of the running back by committee. Only difference is Derrick Henry being that lead back.
I'm curious, with the, it was a running back by committee, but was there a lot of change to the offense and the formation of the offense without Derrick Henry with the other two guys that were in the backfield? Are they basically, he just gets to be plugged and played, or did they have to change some things offensively, the way they block, et cetera, when he's in the lineup?
No, they did not change their offense, and they made that very clear from the start. It's like, we're going to run what we run, and this is a running offense. You know, the perception may have been that that they only run because they have Derrick Henry. No, they're running because, you know, Mike Vrabel, you know, he's a former linebacker. You know, 14 years in the league. You know, with all the talk about passing offenses, particularly over the last decade, this time of year, running the ball is a good way to win, and they are predicated off of play-action pass. You do that when you can run the ball, and they did finish the season fifth in rushing. So, no, they may not have been as effective in some games with that play-action pass, but this is a team that was, you know, they're going to run the ball whether Derrick Henry's on the field or not.
This is a really fascinating team because they are the number one seed in an AFC where everybody kind of had some problems throughout the season. And, you know, the Chiefs struggled early and the Bills had some issues and whatnot. The Titans maintained themselves and they stayed steady. They turned the ball over in losses, et cetera. But they were beset with a ton of injuries. How did they keep that lineup going?
Well, I think you have to credit a few things. Mike Vrabel and that coaching staff. It's a big reason why a lot of people look at him and say, you know, he should be the NFL coach of the year. 91 players. It's the most used in an NFL season that was not a strike year, right?
Yeah.
Six starters are the only amount that started all 17 games. Ryan Tannehill is one of three on the offensive side of the ball. He is a big reason. You know, his stats may not be as flashy as, say, a Joe Burrow, but he was in and out. He was in that lineup every week, and that helped help them steady the ship, so to speak. So those two areas, and just the ability to get guys, Mike Vrabel helped send the message. And I heard this from players throughout the season that, you know, they signed a Bobby Hart off of Buffalo's practice squad on a Wednesday. He played 42 snaps the next game against Kansas City at left tackle. You know, they signed a Greg Maben, a cornerback, on the same Wednesday, and he started that game against the Chiefs, and they dominated the Chiefs 27-3 on October 24th. So, you know, that's been maybe the biggest key. And, you know, they've gotten better players. You know, defensively, they were, you know, they had a lot of struggles a year ago when they did win the AFC South but lost in the wild card round to Baltimore. Well, they changed out a bunch of faces on that team. And you've got Harold Landry's had a career year with 12 sacks. Jeffrey Simmons has blossomed in his third year. They signed DeNico Autry. He's got a career high 9 sacks. The Titans are the only team in the NFL with 3 different players with at least 8 sacks. And then you've got that whole unit on the defensive side of the ball anchored by an all-pro and safety, Kevin Byard. So they changed out some faces, and the faces that kept coming in, you know, they made it very clear you might be on the practice squad, you could be playing on Sunday. And that tone and that tenor, you know, guys, when they did get their numbers called, they were ready to come in and compete. But it's been a revolving door. So it's easy enough to look at the coaching staff led by Vrabel as being the big solidifying factor through this entire season.
We haven't gotten to see a large sample size of what this offense is with Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, and Derrick Henry. Was there enough, though, to give us an idea of what that could look like coming up on Saturday?
In spurts, maybe the Buffalo game might have been the best. That was certainly the big stat seems to be, and credit Mike Keith, the Titans radio broadcaster, 120 snaps out of 1,133 offensive snaps this year. That's the number of times that Derrick Henry, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown were on the field together. So, now Brown and Julio Jones, their regular season finale in Houston was their best performance together in the same game since Buffalo. Derrick Henry was also in that game. So, you know, and now how do they put it? Can they put it all together quickly on Saturday against Cincinnati? That's going to be the challenge. You know, how much can you get out of them? That said, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, neither of them are on the injury report this week for the Tennessee Titans. The shortest injury report that I can remember, maybe back to the opening week of the season.
Interesting. Defensively, this is a good team that stops the run. How do they do against the pass?
Well, they haven't been as good against the pass, but that's the thing. When you're shutting down the run, they were number 2 against the run. Teams are going to pass. So they're feeling pretty good because, you know, they're fairly healthy there. Now, Jack Rabbit Jenkins was added. You know, he's a starting corner. He was added to the report yesterday. But, you know, that's the thing. They've got defensive coordinator Shane Bowen has got a whole bunch of inside linebackers. That's an area that they were hit by injuries maybe the most. And he's got a whole group of people available at his to do whatever he wants to on Saturday. And then Bud Dupree, outside linebacker, think about this. He's a guy who tore his ACL in December 2020 with the Steelers, and he is now a year removed from that and has just been getting better game by game. So it's going to be very interesting because, let's face it, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Azuma, Joe Burrow's got a lot of targets to throw the ball to. So the good thing is the Titans can get and have gotten great pressure with just their front four. That's going to give them the ability to cover.
You know, and I'm guilty of this too. There's 4 teams left in the AFC, and 3 of them have young, dynamic, future is bright quarterbacks. One has already been established as a Super Bowl champion. But Ryan Tannehill, he's not in that list, but yet he's got the team as the number 1 seed in the AFC. How does he play that position? What do they ask him to do? And what is his strength at the quarterback position?
It may be doing what they ask him to do. You know, he has 7 touchdown runs this year for the second straight year. It's a career, matched his career high from a year ago. He's the only quarterback in the NFL to have that many rushing touchdowns each of the last 2 seasons. Yet he has 21 touchdown passes. He had 33, a career high, a year ago. But this offense has been much more of a run offense. You know, control the clock. They're 2nd in the NFL in time of possession, only to Green Bay, and just kind of, you know, play keep away at times and mow down the field. But he also has, you know, he can drive you down the field. He helped rally this team from 10 points down at half on that Thursday night game to San Francisco and help lead them down the field to the game-winning drive. So when they need him to come through a place, he can do it. And it certainly helps now that he has A.J. Brown back to throw to. Think about this. When they lost to New England, they had four turnovers that day, and they had four receivers available in that group. One who started had just been promoted up off of the practice squad because A.J. Brown and Julio Jones weren't quite available yet.
One final question here for you, and this is sort of a big-picture deal with the Titans. There, we look at teams like Buffalo, and we watch for progression, right? They get to the AFC Championship game, and now they're looking to take that next step. We see Kansas City. They lost to New England a couple of years ago. They did take that next step. Cincinnati needed to win a playoff game. They did take that step. This was a team that 2 years ago was in the AFC Championship game. Disappointing loss to Baltimore. But do you feel that the 2021 Titans are progressing into a championship-level team?
Absolutely. I mean, biggest reason that they lost a year ago, their defense, and they went out and you know, revamped it. I mean, there's seven guys who started on that unit a year ago gone, and they replaced them. They brought in new players and gave other players more opportunities, and he named Shane Bowen as defensive coordinator. They got much better on that side of the ball. They shored up an area that was a big concern for them, and then you have the idea that they were in that AFC Championship game 2 years ago. The big stat, they are 1-3. I looked this up last night, but let's put it this way. They haven't gotten past the divisional round in their own building since January 2003. That's when they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in overtime. They lost the 2008 divisional round. They lost last year in the wild card round. This feels like a team with a sold-out crowd on Saturday. That this franchise has never, ever hosted an AFC championship game. You know, they won the first two AFL championships in 1960, I think, 61. This is a franchise that is trying to get back there. Amy Adams Strunk took over in March of 2015. She hired Mike Vrabel to turn this into a championship franchise. This seems like the moment where they're trying to take and kick through that door.
Teresa, always good talking to you. Thank you so much. I hope we catch up with you down the road. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You got it. Teresa Walker, Associated Press in Nashville on the Titans. Yeah, and think about this. Again, with the Bills have the number one scoring defense in the league, that is, right? In the league, right? But the thing we are still buzzing about is what they did offensively to the Patriots, right? The number one scoring defense, but they scored a touchdown on every possession in a playoff game except the end of game kneel down. The definition of this team, the Titans, if they were to get to the Super Bowl, is going to be defense. Yep, Derrick Henry could burst off a 62-yard touchdown run, right? Yeah, but if we get to the Super Bowl, Super Bowl week especially, where we're really ramping up the preview of the game, and the Titans are in that game, we will say it is because of their defense. I don't know, even with the number one scoring defense with the Bills, I don't know we would say that about Buffalo. I think we would say, look at Josh Allen. Look at where he's kooky. Look at his receiving corps. Look what Devin Singletary's done out of the backfield. I think we would be more focused on what the Bills were able to do offensively. I know that's exactly what we would say about Kansas City and Cincinnati if either one of those teams were to get to the Super Bowl. But I think the Titans, if they were to get to the Super Bowl, I think you would say, look at that defense. Look at what that defense is doing. And that's a real credit to Mike Vrabel. All right, we'll come back, wrap up this hour, get you set for hour three as we continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks to Teresa Walker from the Associated Press. Join us to talk Titans. This hour of Wake Up Call is presented by Rocket Mortgage. You know, mortgage that fits your life. Rocket can. Michael on Twitter, and you can hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Michael, 1980, I was in fourth going into fifth grade. You played the Michael Jackson song, I Want to Rock With You, from Off the Wall. That was the very first album I purchased for my first girlfriend, Tammy Melner. Good memories. Well, Tammy Melner, Michael sending you a long-distance dedication. That one's for you.
40 years overdue.
40 years overdue. Real quick, did many of you people in the 80s get your cassette collection from the Get 10 by 3 at a regular price?
Columbia House?
Yeah. Did you get that? That was always the best.
I was never allowed to.
Yeah, I didn't get to do it until I was older and had my own money.
I always wanted to.
You had to make sure that the card, like, you had to make sure that the card was sent back, or they would send you the selection of the week or the month or whatever it was. Selection of the month. So if you didn't send the card back that said, I didn't want it, they would send it to you and you had to buy it.
Now, I did this.
At like $25.
Since I was never allowed to sign up for it, I still went through the process of peeling out all the stamps. Because remember, they were stamps.
Oh, yeah, stamps, yeah.
Licking them and putting them on the card and saying, here's what I would like to get.
Exactly, yeah.
If I was allowed to, but I was not.
Now, when I got older and got to do that, when that box came in, it was pretty awesome. You crack it open and you're like, oh, there they all are. Cassettes.
Yeah. No, that'd be.
Yeah.
I'll never forget my, best friend in college. He did that. And I can't remember which. I can't remember what album he got, but it was, you know, by this time we had graduated to CDs, obviously.
Right, yeah.
But the CD came in the correct case. The label on the CD was great. It was just what was ingrained in the disc was not the band.
Oh, really?
It
oh.
was like some like sappy love instrumental music. It was terrible.
Did you just take your loss because it was such a pain in the butt, or did you actually
go,
I want to get this changed? Yeah, sometimes you had to do that because customer service wasn't always the best. Wake up call.